Hi guys, welcome back to another episode of Oshikaya Speaks, and I'm still your host, Wono Oshikaya. And today, as you can see, it's just me here today, and I'm just going to be going through a couple of things. So I'm trying to get, I'm trying to get comfy just speaking to the camera by myself, you know. So I'm going to be doing these episodes where I just come and I just talk, because Oshikaya Speaks for a reason, right? So yeah, I'm going to do that. So I have some questions that I want to go through. Most of these questions I haven't really gone through. Like, I've seen them. I have an idea of what they look like. Obviously, still about the music and all of that. And these are like questions that people genuinely want to know, want answers to. I want my opinions on. So I'm just going to go through. It's about just a few questions here. Nothing too crazy. So yeah, we are going to get into it right away. Happy New Year. If I, like, that's very rude. Happy New Year, guys. Thank you guys for 3 years of Oshikaya Speaks. Thank you for supporting me for the past 3 years. I'm going to say this in every episode for the rest of this season. Thank you for supporting me. Thank you for, like, just, you know, being there, listening to the pod, listening to watching the episodes, listening to the episodes, and, you know, just being like my support system throughout. Because without you guys, without the feedback, I would definitely not be here today. So again, thank you, and happy new year to everyone. Happy new month to everyone. And this is the month of peace. I pray for peace for everybody, and happiness, joy, just everything, all the good things of life. Is the season of love, so why not? Yeah, so let's get into it. First question: what are your thoughts on fusion of Afrobeats with other genres, especially globally? Okay, so I saw this. This was the first question, obviously. So I saw it, and I was just thinking, like, what exactly are my thoughts? What do I even have to say on this? I feel like, obviously, Afrobeats right now is even a fusion of different things, many different things, and it's just going to be something that, like, is definitely going to keep growing in terms of people drawing from different, like, different genres, different places, and just infusing that into what Afrobeats is. And I think globally, it's like, even the global smash songs, that's even songs that make it globally and like a global smash song, they have the same what's it called? It's basically the same thing, like the fusion of many different sounds, many different genres, and it's just always going to be like that, you know. The genre is growing. We're getting to a point where it's out of our hands now. Like, it's not just High Life and what it initially was. It's now actually like Afrofusion, because now there's so many different things and there's so many different elements into that go into making just one song, even if it's from the beat to the lyrics to literally everything. It's just globally, it's just gonna be like, it's just going to be a thing, if I say so myself. So yeah, what genres you foresee shaping the future of Afrobeats? Shaping the future of Afrobeats. Do I foresee? I think hip hop is definitely gonna have like an effect on Afrobeats. Yeah, hip hop. Like, we can see Asake doing things like that. Hip hop. I think R&B as well. Definitely, we can see like a couple of people doing the whole R&B thingy and just making it fresh, making it acceptable for like Nigerians to listen to, and just people generally to listen to. Like, it's actually an Afrobeats thing. So yeah, I think genres like hip-hop, I think genres like R&B, I feel like I'm missing something, but I just can't place it. But I definitely think those are definitely my top two: Afrobeat, R&B and hip-hop for sure. What do you think will be the next evolution within Afrobeats? I feel like a lot of white people, a lot of non-Africans and white people and people outside of like the space, the actual space of Afrobeats, are going to be making or producing more Afropop records, if I can say that. Yeah, there's just going to be more like producers, artists, music creatives basically making more Afrobeats outside of like Africa, Nigeria and things like that. And Yeah, I just feel like it's at the point where we can't gatekeep it anymore. We're not going to be able to gatekeep it, no matter how much we want to gatekeep it. So we just need to now we're not going to have to find a way around it and what works and what doesn't work. But I think more producers are definitely going to be making beats. Like, they're going to be making Afrobeats. More artists are going to be tapping into the sound as well. And when I say artists and producers, I'm not talking about people, like, in Africa or around the genre. Like, more people that are so new. Let me say new to the genre. Yeah, that's for sure. So, what challenges do you think Afrobeats artists will face as the genre continues to grow in popularity? I feel like we're going to definitely try and gatekeep. And that's a challenge, because we're not going to be able to gatekeep this for any, like, we're not going to be able to gatekeep it any longer, as we can obviously see what people like Rema are doing, see what people like Asake are doing, see what, like, Thames, my goods, see what people are doing. Like, I don't think we're going to be able to gatekeep it anymore. And as it continues to grow, as I said, I just think people are like, the gatekeeping is just not going to work anymore, and it's just going to upset a lot of people, obviously. But like, our job as creatives, as people around the music, is just to make it, you know, better. Always make it better. Always be something that we want other people to kind of replicate, but they can't. That's just it. Like, obviously, the people are going to try. It doesn't mean it's going to be as good as what we're making here or what's going to be coming out of. So which emerging artists do you believe will make a significant impact in the coming year? Okay, let's start with Taves. I think Taves is definitely going to do something crazy this year. I'm excited to see what he has to do, what he's going to do. I think King Madi, she ended the year on a solid EP. I think Luna is he's unreal. Like, he's a very, very, very different breed. Like, just leave that guy in one corner. The guy is very, 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 very special. I think he's gonna have a very, very good year, and he's just going to do things that people haven't seen before. I saw a tweet where someone was like, I made a tweet about him, and somebody replied and said, Luna is the closest thing to Omalay. I don't think Luna and Omalay are even in the same lane. Like, they are completely they're similar, but they're completely different artists in different ways, because Luna can only take you to places Luna can, and Omalay would do the same. So actually, that was what the tweet was, Luna can take you to places only Omalay can, and I completely disagree. I think Luna can only take you to places Luna can. The guy is incredible. Luna, King Madi, Taves, Muiz has a project coming out soon, and I've heard it. I'm excited. It's going to blow up the entire place. Easy Scope. Easy Scope, go to worry this year. Easy Scope, who else? Zeri, a lot of street pop. I feel like street pop, like I always say, I'm a fan of street pop, and I think street pop is definitely gonna like do so much this year. Like, when I say so much, I feel like it's going to do exceedingly well. Like, it's going to surpass what last year was. And last year we saw like a lot of like street pop artists, even if it wasn't just street pop that they were making, like they were like, a lot of the artists that blew up, the two breakout stars of last year, Udumudu Black and Shadi Poppy, they are street pop artists, you know? So I don't think Udumudu is a street pop artist. He wouldn't agree, but like, still streets, you get. But yeah, I think those, I'm trying to really think about like who else is on that list. I'm going to be doing this a lot, so I'm going to be having different artists every time. So yeah, just look out for these ones for sure. Like, I'm sure that they're going to have solid years, and they're going to outdo themselves. So how do you think Afrobeats will continue to influence the global music scene? You know, like, somebody tweeted it. I was watching something, and someone said, and I asked, actually, this is funny. I was in an interview with someone actually, and I asked if the person thinks that Afrobeats is the biggest genre in the world right now, and he said yes. And you know the thing, I don't disagree. Like, I think Afrobeats is definitely the biggest genre in the world right now. It's crazy to see that this is music that is actually made in our backyard, yeah, but is going to be so, like, it's already so big, you know, and it's just going to keep getting bigger. Like, look at what a song like Calm Down did, like Rema's Calm Down with Selena Gomez. I feel like in this year and the year to come, we're going to see songs that would just surpass that. And it's just going to keep getting bigger. Like, more people are going to do more crazy things. Like, people are just going to keep, like, I don't think people understand how big Afrobeats is, and I don't think people understand how big it is going to be. Like, Afrobeats is the only thing that is working in this country right now, so it is a standalone. Like, it can actually stand alone, and this is a genre that hasn't even been global for more than, like, let me say, it's 5 years. That's even a stretch. So you can imagine, like, in the next 5 years, let's just imagine what it's going to be like. As long as we're on the right path and we're just doing the things that we need to be doing, don't worry, shuffle us like mad. With the rise of virtual events and digital platforms, how do you anticipate Afrobeats concerts as festivals? So I was having a conversation with Chidima and we were going through this question. We went through this particular question and she said that it's not like we can't do it, but are we ready? And that's the only answer I have for you. Are we really ready? And personally, I don't think we are. I feel like there's so much work that needs to go into what we foresee as Afrobeats. And the event side of it is a whole different ball game. And I don't think I don't think people are even so heavy on that yet. Obviously, we have shows, we have concerts, we do, like, the... Let me not even shout out to Toto Entertainment. Obviously, we have shows and we have concerts and we do things like that, but it's not where it should be yet. And yeah, definitely, we're going to get to the point where we're having festivals and we're having things like that, but we don't have the infrastructure for that yet. And I feel like before we can even get to the point where we're going to have that, people actually have to put their lives on the line. People actually have to dedicate their time, literally their entire time, to just building that, because events is probably, like, the toughest thing to pull off in terms of any working system, events, because the planning that goes into it is just crazy. And like I said, infrastructure, we don't have a lot of things that can, you know, help us get to that point. But I think we can definitely get there. I just don't know if we're ready for that anytime soon. So what roles do you want to see more people fill in the music industry where Afrobeats is concerned? I feel like I want to see more, as much as we have a lot of A&Rs, like, we have many A&Rs, I want to see more A&Rs that actually know what they're doing there. I want to see more talent managers that actually care. Like, I think generally, I just want to see more people doing, like, understanding that behind the scenes is not a joke. Like, it's actual work and you actually have to dedicate your time, basically. Like, if you're an artist manager, you are managing somebody's life, like, someone's career. You should be able to, literally, some minutes ago... Toms was teaching Taves how to use TikTok. So, like, you need to dedicate your time to, like, this person, this artist, because literally, like, that's your job. And I think people need to stop seeing it as fun. Yeah, it's fun and there's the fun part of it, but it's really not that much fun, you know. Like, if you're actually behind the scenes and you're enjoying yourself, you're not doing the right thing. You're not working hard enough for me. If you are genuinely behind the scenes and you are having a good time, you're enjoying yourself and you're, like, chilling, then you're not working hard enough for me. Like, you're supposed to be suffering. It's part of it. The suffer is the most important part. So yeah, I think I want to see more managers that actually genuinely care about the, like, future of the artist. I want to see more A&Rs. I want to see more people in PR, you know, like there's just so many things that we can do. Like, not everybody has to be an artist, you know. Like, there's so many other things that you can do behind the scenes that would just work, but we need to be ready to like actually put in that work. So yeah, what next? How do you think the rise of TikTok, another social media platform, has or will impact the discovery and promotion of Afrobeats music. I mean, we've seen TikTok do what TikTok can do or what TikTok will be doing. And I think it's very interesting that I actually got this question because I wanted to talk about UMG, Universal, and how they took off their, not really like I wanted to talk about it, but like I get why they would take off their artists. They took out the artist catalog from TikTok, or they are planning on, I think it's today, say 1st of February. So that I understand just basically because of like protection of like the IP and things about AI and just basically things like that. I think it does make sense that they're doing that. It's a bit tricky, you know, but like they have more to gain than, because once look at the people that are signed to Universal. I think The Weeknd is there, Selena Gomez, Taylor Swift, a lot of the biggest names in the world are signed to Universal. So if they take those songs down from TikTok, you know how crazy that would be. And those are the majors. Those are the big artists. You can imagine the smaller artists as well that have also had like one hit and like is a big song on TikTok or whatever. So I get the reason why they would do that. And I feel like if they're not feeling like they can protect the rights of their own artists, then what is the point, you get? And I feel like this is actually going to do more harm than good for TikTok, because if other labels are seeing that a major like Universal, literally the biggest record label in the world, can take down their artist songs from TikTok, who am I not to do same? Who am I? So I think, again, like the influence is there. We've seen TikTok do what TikTok can do, and things like we've seen TikTok blow up songs and obviously things like that. But I think it's just, we're getting to the point where TikTok is just going to fade out, and people will now have to, I don't want to say start thinking, but actually start thinking like there is no more TikTok. TikTok is literally like the, we'll say the easiest way to market a song, is like one of the major marketing tools right now. But now that like a lot of these things are going to happen and a lot of songs are going to be off TikTok, like you get, a lot of things are going to change. The dynamics are going to change a lot, not even a little, a lot. And I want to see how it's going to affect, like I want to see how it's going to affect, I want to see what the outcome is going to be like generally. So yeah, I'm patient and I'm behind the scenes. How can the Afrobeats community ensure that the genre remains authentic and true? Authentic, I think the only way that we can keep doing that is just to, you know, keep encouraging more artists to, you know, come out. Like, just keep encouraging more music creatives to come out. And also, like, you cannot fake the authenticity. Like, it's impossible. That's why a Nigerian producer will make a song, a beat, and an American producer will make the same beat. And obviously, is that Nigerian producer that will still, like, is that like an Afro beats, what's it called, beat? And is still that Nigerian artist, Nigerian producer that is still gonna, like, you probably lean more towards that because it's the originality. The originality is there. Like, we know what we feel when we make these things. Obviously, I don't make music, obviously. But, like, we know what, like, the emotion that we're trying to translate. We know what we're trying to do. We know how much, like, goes into this thing. So I think it's just really that authenticity is going to remain there as long as more artists are coming out. As long as more people are, like, basically coming out, as long as more people are staying true to the genre, even the existing artists, you know, like I feel like Nigerians generally, we just work so hard, and it shows even in like the artists, like it shows even in the creatives, that the music creatives, like you can see that they are constantly, these people are constantly recording, constantly making music, constantly staying true to the arts. Like, because outside, I don't think people, like, generally were making Afrobeats or were making music. Like, I don't think Nigerians, a lot of Nigerian artists that were like are actually blown now, started making music because they wanted like global recognition. It was never really about that. It has always really been about like the music. So that authenticity is always there. Like, the realness is always going to be there as long as these people continue to care about the music, obviously. So yeah, I don't think there's too much work that really needs to go into it. It's just really constantly recognizing the artists, constantly recognizing talents, constantly putting the talents on the, like, at the forefront. That's why, like I said, we need A&Rs that actually know what they're doing. We need like managers that actually know what they're doing. And just people like generally that care about the music and just understand that like music business is actually a job, not some place where you just say that you want to go and chill. Do you think quality music videos in terms of storytelling relating to the song help with like the promotion of your song? I guess, yeah, definitely. Like there are some songs that like I didn't really like, or I couldn't really like understand until like I saw a video. Then I can now like put, okay, this is what this person was trying to say. So sometimes, yeah, of course it does help. A lot of the time, man, I don't want to say a lot of the time it doesn't really help, but like sometimes it does. Sometimes, like, is how many people really care about like their music videos? That's just a question that we should ask. Some people don't, and you know, like it's not anybody's fault that they don't care, but they should care some more for real. But like, I feel like, yeah, definitely, like videos should always be an elevation for a song. Like, I want to come and watch a video. Like, there's this really popular song that I like, I love, in fact, and I saw the video, and since then I've just not really played the song, and I don't even know why. It's not intentional, and it's actually one of my favorite artists in the world, in fact. I just saw the video and I'm just like, ugh. Like, I wanted, if you're giving me an up-tempo song, I want you to actually give me an up-tempo video. Like, I want to dance, you get, like, I want to move my body, I don't want to, you get, like, get what I mean. Yeah, apart from Chance. who asked this type this question? Apart from Chance, what other Afrobeat record do you think can't be replicated? Oh, there are so many. There are in fact so many. Let's start with Soweto. That beat is just heaven sent. Like, you can't. Contour, Untouchable. Which other song? Diamonds, Whiskey. I don't think he can't do that any longer. Even Whiskey's Reckless. Yeah, songs like that. I think Migos by Shea Vibes as well. Is it Migos? No, sorry, Deja Vu. Yeah. Deja Vu, Chance, Soweto, Contour, Peru. Yeah. Those are all the questions for now. So we're going to find a name for this segment very soon. We haven't figured what it's going to be called, but yeah, we're going to be doing this once in a while, like I said. And I just want to know what you guys think about this. Share your comments, your ideas, and let's see how we can elevate what this particular segment of the podcast will become. So yeah, I hope you liked my, you know, my monologue, if I call it that. But yeah, I hope you like enjoyed this, and just let me know what you guys think. But yeah, thank you guys for watching another episode of Oshikoya Speaks. I'm still your host, Wano Oshikoya, and I'll see you next week. Bye.